You're listening to a Peak Media Production.
And now, coming to you from the Windy City, it's The Daily Dime with your host, Tim Keller.
Welcome, everyone, to this Saturday edition of The Daily Dime. Today's April 19th, and with the conclusion of the play-in games last night, the NBA playoffs are officially set, so let's talk about it. All right, so the first game we had last night was in the East between the 8-seeded Hawks hosting the 10-seed Miami Heat, and this one was about as good of a game that you could ask for in the play-in. It was relatively tight the whole game, especially coming down the stretch into the fourth quarter. Trae Young, you know, gets a bucket with like just over a second left to send the game to overtime. And then it was kind of all Heat in overtime. They hit five threes, including three from Davion Mitchell and two from Tyler Hero, as they would go on to win 123-114, actually becoming the first 10 seed to ever advance. So obviously they hadn't prior because the playoff format only went to eight. But since we've had the play-in, we've never had a 10 seed in either conference actually make it to the playoffs. So they are the first ones to do that. And again, this was about as good of a game that you can ask for in the play-in. Sometimes some of these games, one, they're either blowouts or you're just watching kind of bad basketball. But we had a lot of scoring, a lot of good shot making in this one. And yeah, so the Heat move on. They will play the Cavs now in the first round. And it kind of makes me wonder, like, if you're the Hawks, so you lose this game, you were the 8th seed at the conclusion of the regular season. You went 40-42. And to me, it feels a little bit like they're kind of stuck in like basketball purgatory, which is like the last place that you want to be really in any sport, because you're not picking super high at the top of the draft, but you're also not like truly competing for championships either. And I'm not really sure, if you are the Hawks, like what are your next steps? What does your outlook look like? You obviously have Trae Young, you know, superstar, scores a ton, has a ton of assists. Every year he's always up at the top of the list for, you know, points accounted for. But, you know, there's always going to be questions about his defense. And then the rest of the roster is just a little, you know, I don't know. They just don't have the supporting cast that you need to truly compete. I think that you really hope that, you know, their first pick from last year, Richa, ends up panning out. And if he does, then you have a chance, you know, at something, at least like a big two there. And he had a pretty good rookie season. He averaged 12.5 points a game in about 25 minutes. He played a bunch of games, you know, which is good. Just a lot of experience for a rookie. But aside from that, you know, you got rid of DeAndre Hunter. You sent him obviously over to the Cavs for Niang and LeVert. You got rid of Bogdanovich as well. And so you look at the rest of this team. I mean, they have some decent pieces. Okongwu's okay. Dyson Daniels is all right. They actually both played pretty well. I mean, Okongwu had 28-12 last night, and Dyson Daniels had 11 on 5-for-13 shooting with 10 boards. So not the best game, but okay. And they actually got great games from Niang and LeVert. They haven't played as well for them since coming over from the Cavs, but they combined for 35 points on 14-for-30 shooting. But even with that, it still wasn't enough. So it just kind of makes you wonder, what's the plan for this team moving forward? Is Trae Young the answer? Do they eventually move him and just kind of go into a full rebuild, maybe around Richa? I just don't know. And we'll see. I think LeVert is a free agent at the end of this year. I think they still have Niang for another year or two. But yeah, I'll be curious to see what their plan is moving forward, because I don't know if I have a good answer myself for them. Like I said, it just feels like they're in basketball purgatory, and it's just not a fun place to be at all. But anyway, looking at the bigger picture, so the Heat advance. They'll play the Cavs in the first round. So we're officially set in terms of all the seeds. And so just kind of running through some of the predictions again, you know, I think the Heat are a scrappy team, and they've got some players, but I don't think they match up very well with Cleveland. I think the Cavs, they've gotten more recognition this year than they have in the past, you know, for any non-LeBron team. But I still just don't think, I think they're a little bit underrated. And I don't know if like the national media knows as much about the Cavs. They had a couple big games on national TV that I think helped kind of get them in the spotlight a little bit. But I'm not sure too many people know about their depth and guys like Ty Jerome or Sam Merrill. And just the ability that they have to go on, you know, what have now been affectionately named Cavalanches. You know, it seems like no lead or no deficit, I should say, is too big for them to come back from. I know I mentioned the other day when they were losing 25-3 to the Celtics, they end up coming back and winning that game. And I don't have an official stat on this, but it feels like there were like 25 games this year at least where the Cavs were down double digits or, you know, like a huge margin late. And they would end up just going on these crazy runs. And before you know it, like they're winning by 10 points. And so it feels like even when they have an off night, they're never out of it. And they're also so deep. They have so many guys that can play well at any night. And I think that addition of DeAndre Hunter is going to be the difference maker for them. So I think the Heat, they're going to play them tough. Spoelstra is obviously going to have them ready to play. You know, they have some good guys with Adebayo, Tyler Hero. I think a lot of people forget that they have Andrew Wiggins from that Jimmy Butler trade. Haywood Highsmith always seems to like be a guy that's in there playing decent for them. And Davion Mitchell was huge for them in this past game with those threes that he made late. So we'll see. We'll see if they can make it interesting. I think the Cavs still win in four or five. I just think it's going to be tough for them to truly compete with Cleveland. But yeah, they made it in, so props to them as a 37 win team. They've had a little bit of a tumultuous season, especially with all the Jimmy like holdouts and suspensions. But I think they probably have a more clear locker room right now, and who knows, maybe if they can put a couple games together, you know, maybe make it interesting, but I wouldn't be expecting that. So then obviously we had the Magic, who won the first play-in game, so they're the 7 seed taking on the Celtics. And they've actually played the Celtics pretty tough. For some reason, the Celtics struggle with them a little bit, you know, more than any other team closer to the bottom of the standings. So I this feels similar. I don't think the Celtics blow more than one game. I'd be surprised if this goes 6 even. And I think they'll probably sweep, as much as I don't want that to happen. You know, I really like the Magic. They're a young team. I like a lot of their players, especially Paolo. And just not a Celtics guy by any sense of the word, but I don't think it's going to be a super close series either. I think they'll be competitive, but I don't see them winning a lot of games for the Magic. Looking at the rest of the series, I'm pretty excited for the 3-6 matchup. We have the Knicks and the Pistons. The Pistons have had a great season. We talked about the other day where they have tripled their win total from last year. But the Knicks just feel, I think they just have too much experience. I think Brunson's going to play well. Obviously, they have Kat, you know, and some other guys that have some of that playoff experience as well. And especially under Tibbs, I think they're going to be ready to play. So it probably goes like 6. In my mind, I think the Pistons will win a game or two, but I think they're just a little too young. I think they're like a year ahead of where they were expecting to be. And then the 4-5 should be really good. I didn't realize Dame had a chance to come back and play at all. I was shocked by the news the other day. They said he's been cleared for activity again. And it doesn't sound like he's going to play in game one just because he's missed, you know, some time here. But if he can play, you know, in games 2 through whatever, I think that gives the Bucks a big advantage. I thought it was going to be pretty much Giannis on his own. But if he's there, you know, I think the Bucks are going to have a chance in this one. And I'm going to pick them to win if they come back. I think we're still trending towards a Celtics-Cavs Eastern Conference Finals. And I'd probably give the Celtics a slight edge just because of their top-end talent and their experience as well, you know, coming off of a championship. But I think we're going to have some really good series coming on the stretch in the East here. But then, so we also had the Grizzlies and Mavs last night in the final play-in game. So this was obviously out in the West, and this one was pretty much all Grizzlies from the beginning. There was a stretch kind of finishing at the end of the second quarter into the third where Anthony Davis just looked unstoppable. It felt like every time he touched the ball, he was scoring, and they went on a 20-4 run, cut the lead down to 9, I believe it was, and it looked like they might actually make a run to come back They had a lot of the momentum even on the road, and then they couldn't close the gap. They just couldn't get close enough. This felt like one of those games, like if they had Kyrie, you know, Kyrie could have maybe carried them down the stretch, but obviously not having him and just the way this roster is constructed, it just didn't feel like they had anybody that could really dominate the ball and keep that momentum going. So the Grizzlies end up winning 120-106, and they will be the 8th seed in the West and take on Oklahoma City. Ja played really well on his ankle. That was one of my concerns coming into this game. I wasn't sure how well he was going to play. I mean, that injury looked really, really rough the other day. But they said they shot him up. He was supposed to be good for like 48 hours. I don't know if he could feel anything. but yeah, he played pretty well. I think he finished with like 22 and I want to say like 11 assists, something like that. 9 assists. Okay, close. But he had a good game. Desmond Bane also played really well. He also had 22 and 9, but on 9 less shots, he was great. And Jaren Jackson Jr. was good. They had a really balanced attack. All their scorers were in double figures. Zach Edey had 15 on 7-for-9 shooting. Scottie Pippen Jr. had 13. So, yeah, they looked pretty solid. And I mean, and they should. This is a team, they were in the top half of the West standings, really in the top 4 of the West standings, like for a majority of the season. They kind of slipped down the stretch a little bit, and they obviously fired their coach, and they've had, it's been a little rocky between that and all the Ja celebration, you know, news in the media and everything. But yeah, I mean, we shouldn't be too surprised. I mean, this is a good team. They won a lot of games early on in a tough Western Conference. And so here they are as the 8th seed. Then, so they'll play Oklahoma City in the first round. I don't see them truly, truly competing. I think they maybe win one game. I think Oklahoma City's just been so dominant this year, and the Grizzlies just feel a little bit inconsistent. I just don't trust them that much. I mean, even in the game last night, like I think Ja played well considering the circumstances, but he was still only 7-for-24 from the field. Kind of relied on a few more free throws to get to that 22-point mark. Even though everyone else actually shot really well, all the other starters. But yeah, I just don't see them really competing. I think they probably lose in 4 or 5. I would not be surprised if they get swept at all. But I think this is a team on the rise. You know, Edey looks like he has a chance to be a pretty solid starter in the league. I don't know if too many people were very high on him coming out of the draft, even with him, you know, being one of the better college players that we've seen in the past few years. But he looks like he could really be a guy in there as long as he, you know, figures out a few things and kind of fine tunes his game. I saw a lot of people complaining about how he just brings the ball down like every time he has it down low, and it's like, just go up with it, man. You'll quit turning it over. But he didn't have any turnovers last night. He had 2 blocks, 11 boards in 32 minutes. So between him, Jaren Jackson Jr., tongue twister there, Ja, Desmond Bane, I mean, they've got some guys. So I think they're trending up, and you know, I think they're in a better spot than a team like, you know, the Hawks, as we talked about earlier. And then the Mavs moving forward are really interesting too, because, you know, with this roster, they, you know, they have Klay technically under contract for like 2 more years, but you know, with him, he's 35 and he has his moments, but I'm not sure if he's going to be a huge, huge contributor for them down the stretch. But I think lost in the Luka trade is how good Anthony Davis still is. I know he's 32, but you probably have a few more years of him being, you know, arguably the best center in the league. Just an elite, elite talent. You have Kyrie, who's 33. He's under contract through next year as well. I don't know if he'll be ready for the beginning of the regular season coming off the ACL injury. I think it'll be tight, just kind of depending on how quick his recovery is. But they've got some decent young players too, with you know, PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, Max Christie actually had some good spots for him. They have Derek Lively as well. So they've got some pieces. I think they'll be better next year than people are expecting. As long as they stay healthy, we'll kind of see what Nico was actually pushing for. You know, when he made this trade, they're gonna have a lot of bigs. They should be good defensively. I know he said defense wins championships. And then having some more scoring with Kyrie back, and if Klay can be even just decent, you know, just as kind of a spot up shooter, then they might be interesting. But yeah, they're kind of in a weird spot though. With, you know, their 2 best players, or I guess arguably 3 best players, already into their early to mid 30s, but then a mix of young talent as well. So I'm curious to see them next year. But yeah, so anyway, playoffs fully set in the West. Talked about Thunder Grizzlies a little bit. Obviously, the Warriors won the first play-in game, so they'll take on the Rockets. And I think they're going to win that series. I think it goes deep. I think it goes 6 or 7. But I would not be shocked at all if the Warriors win that 1-6 at home. And I'm really excited to watch that between Thompson and Steph going at it. I think that's going to be a really fun series. But I'll probably pick the Warriors. Then looking at the 3-6 with the Lakers, Timberwolves, I think the Lakers win this. I talked about it a little bit the other day. I think Luka's just going to hit a different level in the playoffs and just be a little bit more efficient than he was in the regular season for the Lakers. LeBron, I think he's been banged up a little bit more than has probably been released to the media. And so I think just him having, you know, a week or two here to kind of rest after they clinched up the 3 seed, I think that's going to help him as well. But I really think the key in this series is going to be Austin Reeves, because I like some of the pieces for Minnesota too. I mean, obviously you have Anthony Edwards, Julius Randle, some other guys with some experience. I think we know what we're getting with those guys. But Austin Reeves has been incredible for the Lakers as their third option. But I just want to see it a little more in the playoffs. And I don't think he's going to shy away from the limelight at all. But, you know, if he's scoring 20 points a game on, you know, 40-45% shooting, hitting a couple threes a game, then I think he's, I think the Lakers are definitely in the driver's seat there. But if he struggles a little bit more, if he's averaging closer to like 12 points a game on 35% shooting, not making some threes, then I think we have a little bit more of a series. But I think the Lakers win this one in probably 6, maybe 7. But like I said, I think we're going to see them hit another level here. And then and for selfish reasons, like, I really want to see them play the Warriors. I want to see LeBron and Steph again in the playoffs. So, you know, the West is kind of crazy. I wouldn't be surprised if any of these matchups or any of these predictions get flipped besides Thunder Grizzlies. But that's what I'm hoping for, at least. And then in the 4-5 matchup, I think this is the best first round matchup that we have, which, you know, it probably should be, being a 4-5 with the Nuggets and Clippers. And we talked about this also a little bit the other day, but I think we could just get some craziness in this one, because both teams just feel like they have the ability to be a little bit inconsistent. Like, the Nuggets, they largely have the same roster that they have that won a championship a couple years ago, but they just fired their coach. And you just kind of wonder exactly where that locker room is or where those guys' heads are. I think they'll be all right, but I mean, who knows? That's a lot to deal with. And then with the Clippers, you know, you have Kawhi's injury history, Harden's playoff history. You know, they could both go nuclear and combine for 75 points, or like Kawhi could get hurt and Harden could go 1 for 12 from three, and they could lose by 40. So, I mean, either team could get swept here, or this could go 7 in one of the better series that we'll probably see in the playoffs. I wouldn't be shocked with almost any result here. So I think this one ends up going 6 or 7, probably 7. And I'll take the Nuggets here just because they would be at home. And I just trust them a little bit more consistency-wise. I think the Clippers are going to win a couple games just because I think you're going to get Harden and Kawhi that play some games, or have some games where they play really well. But it should be a really, really fun series to watch. So, yeah, then I think we probably get Thunder Lakers in the Western Conference Finals if those all pan out. And probably with the Lakers advancing, that would be them and the Cavs would be like my dream championship. I know it's unlikely starting out here, but I just think their experience over the Thunder would really help them out there. So yeah, that's kind of where we're looking at playoff wise, and that should cover most of the NBA. I wanted to talk a little MLB. I know it's still early in the season. We haven't talked about it a lot yet, but we had a crazy game here in Chicago yesterday that I just want to mention. So the Cubs were up, they were up 7-1 going into the 8th inning. And so you're thinking like, oh, this game's over. Like, the Diamondbacks don't have a chance. And then the Diamondbacks put up a 10-run 8th inning to go up 11-7. And, you know, which is obviously extremely rare. But then in the bottom of the 8th, the Cubs come back, have a 3-run home run, and then a 2-run home run, and then a solo shot to go up 13-11, and that would be the final. But just a super rare game. You know, you don't see that too often where a team gives up 10 runs in the 8th inning or less, or later, and then still go on to win the game. So I just thought that was interesting. But yeah, so with that, we'll just about wrap it up for this Saturday episode of the show. I know these are pretty rare, but you know, with the playoffs starting today, I kind of wanted to hop on here and just give my thoughts. And then with that crazy game last night, I figured it was worth mentioning. So, but yeah, so anyway, thanks for listening. And if you would, please consider following the show and rating 5 stars on Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you listen. But yeah, we'll talk to you next week. See ya. Okay, actually, I lied. I have one more thing that I wanted to say that I forgot about until I had finished recording here. But also, I noticed also watching the Memphis game last night, they were wearing one of their like City Edition jerseys, and it didn't even have Memphis on the. It said Vancouver. Like, you had a different city on on your jersey for what's essentially a home playoff game, which is insane to me. I'm so over the City Edition jerseys and the courts and everything else. Like, maybe this is like my boomer take, like get out of my yard, but like I'm so over them. 95% of them look terrible to begin with, first of all, and so do the courts. Like the Mavs court, that's just all gray, looks like you're watching on a black and white TV, is horrific. And for a team to literally wear a jersey with a different city's name on it for a playoff game is just blows my mind. Like, what are we doing? We have completely lost the plot here. And I think we've also just lost, like what happened to like tradition and just like, I don't know, the pageantry of what these uniforms should be. Like the reason that things become iconic is because you use them forever. And every team has like 15 different jerseys, it feels like, every season. It's ridiculous. Like, they should have a home and away and like one alternate, and they can wear it like 3 times a year. Like, that should be the standard. I don't know what we're doing with these, especially in the postseason. Like, it looks ridiculous. Half the time I turn on a game, I can't even tell what teams are playing for the first like 30 seconds. I have to look all over, look at the scoreboard, figure out like who it is, or wait for them to mention a player, because the jerseys just make no sense. The colors are crazy. They don't have anything that is like truly pertaining to the city, actually, half the time. It's just some random lingo that a 13-year-old probably made up during COVID. And it's so frustrating to watch. So yeah, I wanted to throw that out there too at the end of the show today, because it's just, I couldn't believe seeing that on TV yesterday. Like, what are we doing? We have completely lost the plot. Please, I'm begging you, go back to the traditional home and aways. Yeah, if you want to redo the jerseys every like 5 years or something, sure. But like, we don't need new jerseys every season, with new City Edition jerseys every season, with new courts every season. Like, it's ridiculous. Please, like, okay, that's my rant. Anyway, we'll talk to you next week. See ya.